Well, we begin the second week of our five-part series on gifts of the Spirit. And just as a reminder, let me share with you the definition that we've been talking about. Gifts of the Spirit are special abilities given by Christ through the Holy Spirit to empower believers for the ministries of the body. Gifts of the Spirit are special abilities given by Christ through the Holy Spirit to empower believers for the ministries of the body. I purposely changed from spiritual gifts to gifts of the Spirit, mainly because of the study I did this week and was able to find that Paul never talked about spiritual gifts. In fact, the better translation in this particular passage is matters relating to the Spirit. See, Paul was trying to help the Corinthian folks about the whole notion of spiritual realities. In that day and time, for some reason, the Corinthian folks, when they were pagans, as you see in verses 2 and 3, had confusing notions about spiritual realities. They had been misled to worship idols, to worship muted idols, I think Paul says in the passage. That is, stone idols that simply are there and, of course, can never speak back to you. He says in verse 2, when you were pagans, you were somehow influenced and led astray by the mute idols. They were caught up, searching for meaning and purpose. They were trying to find out what life was supposed to be about. They were trying to make sense out of life in that day and time. And I wonder sometimes if we've come very far in 2,000 years since the early church. I wonder if we are not oftentimes looking for the same thing. I wonder if many of us are not trying to find out our meaning and purpose for life. And we look in so many different directions for it that sometimes it gets very confusing. I remember, I think it was back in the 1980s, the whole religious experience over Jim Jones, who convinced a number of people that he was telling the truth and even led them to Central America or the Caribbean, I forget where, and they were willing to drink that poisonous drink because they believed in him so much. While he was not a muted idol, he still was a sense of idolatry. And then I'm continually amazed at how many people are taken by what I call the prosperity gospel. The pitch on television goes something like this: if you'll send us $1,000, either all at one time or, you know, in small increments, you will be blessed beyond your realization. You'll be so blessed that your financial woes will never be another problem for you. They even give testimonials. They even give witnesses about how people's lives have changed and money is no longer a problem. But they never tell you about the people that lost their shirt and trying to live up to that particular ministry. I read a survey this past week of the 20 richest pastors in the world, and have to admit, I was rather shocked. Several of them are worth $150 million and more. One supposedly is worth $750 million, and you would know the names of those people. I was also taken by the fact that there were four or five of the top 20 who are pastors in Africa, particularly in Nigeria, worth $10 million or more dollars each. I think it's just evidence that in our modern day, we still look to idols. We still look to things that don't have meaning and purpose, and we yet want them to be that for us. For Paul was saying very clearly, whoever is speaking by the Spirit of God can never say Jesus be cursed. And in the same manner, whoever calls Jesus as Lord cannot do it except by the Spirit. He's simply trying to say that the Holy Spirit is part of life. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. The Holy Spirit wants to communicate with us. The Holy Spirit wants to be a very real part of our lives. And so don't worry about idols that are muted. Listen instead for God's Spirit. It was out of that context that Paul is declaring some things for the church at Corinth and for us, the church at South Plains. The purpose, he says, of the gifts is not to set aside individuals and make them something special. It's not to grant celebrity status to people in which they think they're better than other people. No, the gifts of the Spirit are intended to build up the church, to build, empower the ministries, as our definition says. For we're not singled out how good we are at hospitality or at administration. We're not singled out for how good we pray or for the kind of strong faith we have. No, the issue is that the gift we possess has a bigger purpose. The gift we possess is about God's kingdom. The gift we possess empowers the local congregation. So what does it mean to make a difference at South Plains with the gifts God has given you? Which leads to a further observation that what I do with the gifts I have are to be done to give glory and praise to God. They're intended to make a difference for God, not for me. They're intended to make a difference for God's love in the world. They're intended to give praise to God. Remember the first question in the Shorter Catechism? What is the chief end of mankind? Mankind's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy God forever. The gifts of the Spirit help us do that. The gifts of the Spirit are all about God, who is the giver and perfecter of every good gift. Part of the gift of God's gifts to us is the sense of joy and satisfaction we obtain whenever we use them. I mentioned last week in the sermon that I think is a very spiritual moment in our lives when we finally come to realize that God is the giver of every good and perfect gift, and that my abilities are naught except for the fact that God allows me to do it. It's an incredible time when we finally submit ourselves to the sovereignty and to the power of Almighty God. When we finally realize that the gifts we have, we only have because God has provided them for us. I think it gives a sense of freedom to help us realize how fortunate we are and how we're able to give those gifts like God gave to us. I really ache for people who have a dour and sour disposition, whose lives are always half empty, who are not worth anything in their minds, who are not able to do anything, who are not able to contribute anything. Yet it seems to me that the gifts of the Spirit enable us to do that, empower us to do that, and give us the joy for doing that. Peter Buckler, a Presbyterian pastor, talks about one of his church members who was very gifted in the congregation. She was asked one time, "Why do you get involved in the mission program? Why is it you give time to go to that lower income neighborhood and to participate in Vacation Bible School?" And Peter was saying that what was most satisfying about her response were not the words that she gave, but instead the smile on her face when she said, "I always love getting to know the children's names. I look forward to every morning when I get to see their smiles and to see their faces and to see how excited they are." It really is a sense of satisfaction in our hearts, and it's a spiritual moment, a sense of joy that the blessings that we receive as well as the blessings that we give. We have a new sense of energy and delight that enables us to live faithfully and completely. Which brings me back to a conversation that I had last weekend with my sister. I wrote to you about it on Monday, and I think there's something that happened in that conversation that might be helpful. I was talking to Janice last Sunday afternoon, and she oftentimes worships with her, so she's going to be embarrassed that I'm bringing her name up, but she'll get over it. I was talking with her, and she said something about she was really struggling with what gifts she had to offer. First of all, I was shocked she was listening to her brother, but that's another whole story. But I think it may have a point that she's trying to make. And that is, one thought that came to my mind is maybe we could go in a different direction to uncover and discover our spiritual gifts. Instead of sitting around and trying to figure out, no, what gift do I have and what gift can I give and what gift is mine, maybe we should ask the question, what is it that South Plains is about? What is it that South Plains could be about? And in that regard, what could I do and how could I participate with the gifts God has given me? It seems to me that in doing that, we first of all identify what the needs are in the church and how I can contribute to it. For remember, the whole purpose of the gifts are to empower ministries, not to make me look good. And so asking the question of what is it that South Plains needs might be a way for us to discover the gifts that we have. Paul declares there are all kinds of gifts, different kinds of service, different kinds of working as a real variety pack of spiritual gifts. But it's the same Lord, it's the same Spirit, it's the same God. And that same Spirit provides those varieties of gifts, which are indeed to be for the church. So part of determining if the gifts are authentic for us, instead of following a modern day idol or some personality, there are a couple tests. One is, are the gifts for the common good, as Paul was talking about in his letter? That is, are the gifts being used to build up the church? Are the gifts being used to empower the ministries? Are the gifts being used to make a difference in other people's lives? Where is the focus? Is the focus on the person who has the gifts, or is the focus on the group? Is the focus on empowering the work of the ministry? And do we participate in the life of the church so we get some kind of reward out of it? Do we get, quote, paid for what we do for the church? And remember, pay doesn't always have to be financial. We get kudos for what a great job we did. We have bragging rights for things that we do in the church. We are the center of attention in the latest mission project of the church. What kind of payoff are we expecting? What kind of difference do we hope will we make? Or are we satisfied with doing God's work and letting the Spirit finish it up? What is the common good for you in the life of the church? A second test is about diversity. In congregations, a hallmark of a strong congregation has been the diverse gifts and skills and abilities of all the members in the church. Notice that God did not give all the gifts to one person. Notice that God did not give the same gift to every person in the church. Can you just imagine at South Plains, if everybody had the gift of administration, we would be very efficient. We'd be right on time, and we would be boring as the dickens. God also didn't restrict your age in terms of gifts that you have or that you are given or that you can use. For one does not age out of receiving or using God's gifts. In our day and time, diversity is the buzzword. In the corporate world, in the education arena, in the church, belief being that diversity helps strengthen the organization and the group. Diversity helps to provide ways in which we can do work and ministry that we never could do without it. In fact, the value of diversity has been part and parcel of the ministry of the church for over 2,000 years. That diversity of gifts in the church has been a hallmark of building a community of faith. That diversity enables us to see God's hand at work in ways we never thought possible. And it has surprised us and it has shocked us as God's gifts to us in the church. But sometimes I don't believe we embrace diversity. Sometimes we get ourselves set and stuck in how we operate. Sometimes we get on a committee and never get off of it. Sometimes we work on a program year after year after year. Sometimes we use the same program year after year after year. And we do that because that's all we know. And we do that because we're comfortable doing it. Yet, unless we begin to think of different ways to do the same work of God's Spirit, we will never see the diversity of gifts that God has bestowed upon us as a congregation. We'll never see all the different gifts because people will not come out and use them. Now, it's out of a deep sense of love for this congregation, I have made an observation in my short stay with you. Too few of you do the work of this church. Too few of you serve on too many committees. Too few of you are doing the ministry and work of the congregation called South Plains. I say this because if the church is going to grow, if the church is going to be faithful, if the church is going to realize its potential, there has to be space for people to get involved. There has to be a place for people to use the gifts that they have been given. It's a real way to keep the Spirit alive and well. It's a way for all the diverse gifts in God's kingdom to be experienced. Now, I realize South Plains has come through a long transition, much longer than most pastoral transitions. And part of that's the pandemic. There are times the PNC just couldn't work because it was too dangerous to travel or to see people. And in those long transition times, there's a need for stability. There's a need for people with leadership skills to be in place. And I think it has served this congregation well. I think the South Plains Church is positioned as well as I've seen any congregation for new leadership. And yet, as new leadership comes, this is a grand time to ask the question, how am I going to serve? What am I going to do in the life of this congregation? How am I going to help make a difference? I hope you remember last week I said that all of us are committed to the church and you don't have an option about being involved. It is expected and required. What you do have an option of is how you're going to do that. Where are you going to do that? In which ways are you going to serve this congregation in years to come? So I hope that you will pray about the fact of how God might be using you and how God might use you in some new ways and how God might use you in ways that you never thought would happen. Be in prayer about that. Think about ways in which the church has needs and think about ways in which your gifts can fulfill those needs. The gifts of the Spirit, there are lots of them. So the issue is, use them and use them for God's glory. Let us pray. Dear God, praise and honor and glory to you this day for the fact that there are so many different gifts that we've been given, so many different ways we can serve you, so many different ways in which we can be faithful. So help us to realize that incredible gift of the variety and diversity. And through that, bring us together, bind us with one another so that we might be able to fully use those gifts and truly be the body of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is, My Shepherd Will Supply My Need.